Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. The title of his message is, What You Won't Do for Money is What You Are Worth. The text is from Matthew 26, verses 14 and 15.
Please open your Bibles to Matthew 26. We do welcome our visitors with us. Thank you for coming so far. And for taking this time to see what the Lord is doing here. If the Lord is not here and doing the work, it is all in vain. And there is no reason why anybody should be here if the Lord is not here. We're glad you came. Hope these will be good days for you, and that we can do something to encourage you and make your ministries easier and lighter, your burdens lighter. I want to share with you some really good news. I heard last night in conversation with my daughter about a couple. The young man had grown up in a Christian home, had gone far from the Lord, had never really been saved. And he and his live-in girlfriend came to the Living Gallery a week ago on a Saturday night. She cried all the way through it. Her heart was greatly moved of the Lord. And the next day, Sunday morning, they both went to church and went forward and got saved. And what wonderful news that is. Some parents' prayers had been answered. In Matthew chapter 26, there had been a feast at the house of Simon the leper. And in the process, a fallen woman who had come to the Savior in an act of love poured out expensive ointment and anointed him. And the disciples complained among themselves, saying, this money could have been used better. This ointment could have been sold, and the poor could have been cared for. And this was a foolish waste of money. Judas was among them. We know Judas' attitude toward money. John chapter 12 says he was a thief. He held the purse. He was the treasurer of this little group of 12. And he had his hand in the till. And no wonder he didn't like the fact that this ointment was not sold and the money given to the poor, because before it could have gotten to the other poor, it would have gone to poor Judas. And so he was among those who were complaining. And in fact, he was so angry about it. We read in verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Right on the heels of his anger about the lavish display of sacrificial love and worship of Christ, because he had a heart that was not like that, and because he was denied some crooked money that he would have loved to have taken possession of, he went out and found the enemies of Jesus. They didn't come to him. They didn't ask him to deliver Jesus to them. He said, I'll sell him if the price is right. And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. The 30 pieces of silver, of course, we're told in Exodus, was the price of a servant. Exodus, I believe it's 21, tells us that when a servant was gored by another man's ox and died, that the owner of the ox was required to pay to the owner of the servant 30 pieces of silver. It was the price of a servant. Christ, of course, the suffering servant, was paid the price of a servant by those evil religious leaders who were all too glad to give Judas money for Jesus. The love of money corrupts character. The love of money is the result of corrupt character. I guess if I put a title on this message, I would say, what you won't do for money is what you are worth. What you won't do for money is what you are worth. People who aren't worth much in character will do anything for money. Judas was such a person. Why am I preaching this to you? Because you're going out into a world very shortly this summer, and you graduates on a permanent basis are going out into this world where the love of money rules, where money rules, where you're going to be in multiple opportunities to do wrong for money, where your Christian character will be on trial daily, and people will be constantly seeing how much you are willing to sell out the Lord for. Some, like Judas, have no conscience when it comes to money. For many Christians, all too many, money speaks louder than their consciences. Money stifles their consciences. They'll take dishonorable jobs. There are some occupations that are just not appropriate and are just not an option for somebody who loves Jesus Christ. Any occupation that requires a Christian to cheat, to lie, to steal, to commit immoral acts is not even worthy of consideration for a heartbeat by a Christian. It's not even something you'd think twice about. And if you are in such a job and required to do dishonest, indecent, immoral, unchristian things in order to keep the job, then lose your job. Lose your job. God will honor your integrity. He will honor your testimony, your witness for Him. And He'll take care of you. He can feed you with the ravens if He wants to, like He fed the prophet, the brook Cherith. God will take care of you. To do wrong, to take care of yourself, is an indecent and immoral act in itself. Don't sell yourself. And don't sell Jesus Christ. There will always be those asking you to do wrong for gain. In this case, Judas wasn't asked to do wrong. He volunteered to do wrong for gain. The money was worth more to him than Jesus. And you're going to find yourselves in such opportunities for doing wrong all of your life. And some of them will start for you this summer. If they haven't already come to you in many opportunities before, they'll come this summer. For some kind of gain. It might not even be the gain of money. It might be the gain of friendship. I don't know what it will be, but you're going to be asked to barter Jesus Christ for some kind of gain. To do wrong. And in the process, sell Jesus Christ. What doth it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The Savior asked in Matthew chapter 6. What does it profit? You will be the loser. Gain will be the objective, but you will be the loser. You know from the story of Judas that it was only a matter of time until, with great remorse, he realized what a terrible thing he had done. But it was too late. The Savior was crucified. He was delivered into the hands of unjust men who destroyed him or sought to destroy him. And Judas threw the money down and walked away, and at least he was decent enough, when all was said and done, to go hang himself. He had enough decency to finally hang himself anyhow, even if he didn't have the decency to refuse to sell Jesus for money. There was never anything more low down in all of human history than what Judas did. But some of you are going to do something very close to it, and maybe very soon. You sit here and you say, well, it will never happen to me. Let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You're out into such a world where money rules. And people with no scruples and no conscience and no love of Christ, certainly, will do anything in order to get financial gain. It's the way people live. It is considered the objective of life to do whatever you have to do to gain financially. And I'll tell you who is going to be particularly vulnerable to that in this crowd right here. It is those who right now spend your life focused upon what you can get from others, what you can get from your education, what you can get from your church instead of what you can give, what you can get from your friendships and your associations. The rich young ruler, we're told in Matthew 19, sold out a relationship with Jesus Christ for money. He said, "I lack something. What do I lack?" The Lord said, "Go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. You need me." But your money, your love of your money, the security of your money, everything money will do for you is keeping you from me. So get rid of it. The Bible said he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. The Bible says that we can't love God and money. The Lord Jesus said it's very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Money has a powerful hold on all of us. And the devil is constantly dangling the money carrot in front of our face saying, "Go for the money. Go for the money." The rich young ruler sold out his relationship with Jesus Christ for money. There are some who will sacrifice their marriages for the pursuit of money. Whatever job you have, young people, there's always another employer who's willing to pay you a little bit more money. And if that is your objective in life, to just get a little bit more money, you're going to enter into employment relationships that just leech the very life and soul out of you, that take more and more of your time away from your family, that demand your soul for the company, and you're going to find out that after a while, it is the money you love, it is not your wife, it is not your children, it's not your home, it certainly is not your Lord. Look, make up your mind when you go to a job, whether it's this summer, whether it's lifelong, you don't go for the money. You don't go to get. You go to give. You say to your employer, "What can I give to you? What can I add of value to this place of employment?" Be thankful for what you get, but don't go to work for what you get. That's the world's way of looking at money and looking at work and labor. It's not the way for the Christian. But if you're looking at life right now, what can I get? Can I get a few cents more per hour? Then, hey, I'm for sale. Some of you are for sale. That's the way you've lived your life. That's the way your parents lived their life. No wonder that's the way you look at life. And I feel sorry for you that you've had that kind of parental example. Saturday and Sunday, in three separate, unrelated conversations with three of our graduates, I was so happy. All three of them in conversation just happened. I said, "What are you doing now?" "Well, I'm doing such and such." And then they would proceed, all three of them proceed to tell me, "I've had lots of opportunities, lots of job offers to move to another place, even just to move across town, but most cases to travel somewhere else in the country, move my family, relocate for a few dollars more per hour." I said, they all three said, "I'm not making all that much money, but I'm very happy. God's given me a sweet and loving wife and children that I adore and a great church and great opportunity of service for the Lord and a great Christian school for my children. And those few extra dollars don't interest me. My bills are paid. I'm not in the greatest home. I don't have the greatest job, but I have a great opportunity and I have a great family, and the jobs that were offered me all required of me things that would cause me to give up that which is a whole lot more important than money." I said, "God bless you. I'm so proud that you have your priorities right. You're graduates of whom we're most proud." But if you have an attitude in life right now, "I'm here to get, I'm here to get. What can people give to me?" You're already on your way to selling out. I had a wonderful letter the other day from Lisa Lynn, a 1996 graduate. She just finished medical school and she sent a check for $1,494 to the school. She said, "This is my first paycheck for my first week of being a doctor. And I wanted to give it back to the place that got me started in appreciation for all those people who've invested their lives in me." Look, if you live your life now with the concept of giving and not getting, what can I give? What can I give to my parents who've invested in me and my teachers and my pastor? What can I give in return to my church and to my school and my home? Look what they've given to me. What can I give back? What a wonderful way. What an unselfish way. Hey, you're well on the way to being protected from the sort of thing that Judas did. A mindset on giving and serving, not on getting and greed. I heard yesterday that every now and then there's a lot of rudeness sometime among students. They'll come into chapel. They'll sit down, never speak to the people on either side of them. "How are you? How's your day going?" Never think of staying after chapel. Let's pray together about what we just heard. "Do you have any prayer burdens on your heart? How can I pray for you?" No such concerns for the people on either side of you. What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? You're selfish. That's what's wrong with you. You'll pick up your hymnal. You'll never reach down and share it with somebody next to you. You'll never show any concern for others. You live in your own bubble. All that matters is what's inside that bubble. You. You're well on your way to a life of greed and selfishness, self-centeredness. What can I get? Who's going to pay me the most? Right now, some of you are in decision making about what Christian school you're going to teach in. How are you going to decide which one? Well, it's Christian school. I'm called to teach in Christian school. I'll go whoever pays me the most money. If the Christian school knew you were choosing them on that basis, if they had any character to them, they'd say, "We don't need you. We don't need you. We don't want somebody motivated that way." Sometimes pastors choose churches based upon that. Two or three opportunities. Who's going to pay me the most? They're no better than Judas. What will you give me? That was all Judas cared about. That was the bottom line of his life. What will you give me? Facilities management, the plant management division of the university. Just a couple of days ago, I had somebody that's staying here for the summer to go to summer school come to them and say, "I'm looking for a job." But here's what this girl said. "I don't want to do the dining common thing or paint. My parents don't want me to work hard or get tired. I'll be glad to do anything as long as it doesn't require me to use my body. I could be a cashier or write something." You know what I said when I heard that? Give her the dirtiest job on this campus. Get grease under her fingernails and all over her face and make her sweat like a pig. I don't know when I've been as mad as I have with that stupid attitude. What will you give me? And I want something really nice and easy. My mommy and daddy don't like me to work hard. I'd like to get mommy and daddy here is what I'd like to do. You know, it's amazing how little silver and gold it takes to make us become self-focused and get the whole world out of proper focus. How many people are for sale? How many people are willing to do anything for money? Senator Torricelli from New Jersey, who a year ago sponsored a Senate resolution to censure Bob Jones University. Remember Senator Torricelli, spaghetti, ravioli, Torricelli. just read a little clip in the paper yesterday about that big. He's under investigation now from the Justice Department for illegal influence peddling. A Korean businessman who wanted to buy a Korean insurance company gave big dollars to the senator's campaign in return for inside information and influence peddling so that he could buy this Korean insurance company. I hope they put... I turned the other cheek. If he's committed a crime, I hope there is a penalty for his crime. Hey, you know what, young people, is the greatest thing in the world? To know that God is on the throne. To know that people like Torricelli are in God's hands. You know, they reach out to try to slap the people of God some way. Hey, take the slap. Take the slap. And then let God deal as He will, because He is God, and do whatever He wants to do. How easily money corrupts. But it's not just the unsaved, like Senator Torricelli, who are corrupted. It's the people who walk with Jesus Christ, like Judas, who himself, of course, was a devil. How easily the people who walk in the presence of the Lord are so easily corrupted, who do anything for money. And they'll lose their relationship with the Lord if it means they can get some money. They'll stay out of church. They'll take wrong kind of work. They'll neglect their family. They'll let their children go to hell. As long as they can live in bigger houses and drive better cars. I read a story about a certain miserable old rich man of a horrible disposition who one day couldn't even stand himself anymore, and he visited a rabbi. And the rabbi, sensing the man's problem, took him by the hand and led him to the window, and he said, "Look out there. What do you see?" The rich man looked in the street. He said, "I see children playing. I see women going shopping. I see men, women, and children out there through that glass window." He said, "Come over here." And he took him in front of a mirror. He said, "What do you see in this glass?" He said, "I see myself." What was the difference? There were two pieces of glass. One had a very thin coating of silver behind it. And now he didn't see anybody else. He could only see himself. It's amazing what a little bit of silver will do to change our focus. We don't see people anymore. We don't see people going to hell anymore. We don't see souls in need anymore. We don't see the cause of Christ. We don't see other students. We just see ourselves. We're all that matters. And going for the silver and the gold is all that matters. Young people, if it could happen to Judas, it can happen to you, and it can happen to me. And I preach this with a heavy heart and a great burden for you. As you leave here in just a few days, because with some of the attitudes that you have right now and the focus upon self, it is guaranteed that you're going to be bought. It is guaranteed that whatever flatters you, whatever will get more for you, whatever gain there is for you, that's the only basis on which you'll live your lives. And one day, like this old greedy man in the story I just gave you, you're going to end up greatly dissatisfied and a life greatly wasted, and it'll be too late to do anything about it. And you'll die with huge regret. I beg you, don't let it happen to you. Shall we stand and be dismissed? Lord, you warn us so much in the Bible about money. There's so many examples of those who sold out for money, who did so many wrong things for money. Lord, let every man and woman standing here determine right now, today, before they walk out of this building, that they are not for sale, that money is not the object of their lives, that by your grace and help, they will never do wrong for money. They will never miss your will in the pursuit of dollars. They will never neglect their families for money. They will never become owned as a slave by money. May they set their affection on things above, not on things on the earth, in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $7 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.